The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gareth Topham, Sean Quinn and James Millman in the studio. A good Sunday to look forward to as well. We've got racing on the turf at Musselburgh, including the Musselburgh Gold Cup. There's jumping from Plumpton and Sedgefield. The meeting at Plumpton includes the Sussex Champion Hurdle, and we've got some good racing over in Ireland as well. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Mark.
Good. Plenty to look ahead to, Mick. It's a good Sunday coming up, but also plenty to have a little chat about to start with as well. We'll start with Friday's action, good Friday's action. The second running of the All-Weather Championships at Lingfield, and it looked to be quite a success again.
Yeah, the only problem is, Mark, with the actual feast, if you want to call it a feast, it's such a movable feast, Easter, isn't it? And it was 3 weeks earlier than last year.
Yeah.
And they got off to a wonderful start last year with brilliant picnic-type weather and good crowds. But even the 3 weeks earlier and nasty little coldish snapper with grey skies, etc., didn't deter the crowds, did it? And in fact, they were marginally up on last year, even though they didn't get the weather. We certainly got a good card again, a good day's racing, didn't we?
We did, and a good day for Godolphin as well. They had Pretend, who was a winner. They also had Four Seasons, and the big winner of the day, Trista, winning the Easter Classic in eye-catching fashion again. Mickey comes late, and he wins his races right at the death, and it was impressive to watch.
Well, and you think as recently as January, he was winning a Chelmsford City handicap of 87, which he only won that by a short head. And he's made phenomenal progress, hasn't he? I mean, his current rating before Good Friday, was 112. He beat into second and third two good, solid performers, rated 108 and 109.
Yeah.
I can see him being a 120 horse when the handicappers reassessed him. And William Hill have given him a quote for the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot of 14 to 1. Alongside the likes of Al Qasim, Spielberg, and We Are. So, mightily impressed, our odds compilers. And why not? This is a horse who's never stopped improving. And it's worth remembering as well, Mark, although his phenomenal progress has actually been on the poly track, his turf form on his first three starts was progressive.
Mm.
So it's not as if he's a one-trick pony, which he isn't. He's just improved rapidly from three to four.
That was going to be my next question. Could you see him having success on the turf as well, Mick? Then?
Oh, definitely. Because of that, I look back at his I know you could say, well, he went to Brighton to win his maiden, but that's not his fault, is it? he ran really well in a hot handicap Newmarket debut on his handicap debut at Newmarket off a mark in the high 80s, and on only his third career start. So he's no one-trick pony, Mark. He's not bound to the polytrack surface, that's for sure.
Some good racing at Musselburgh as well, Mick. Good old Borderless Scott running a big race, finished second to Tangerine Trees in the one of the big races on there. Did anything else stand out to you on Good Friday?
It was good competitive stuff, wasn't it? I think Lingfield stole the show, but as you say, he would have brought the house down, wouldn't he, old Borderless Scott, if he'd managed to win his own race. Still retains all his enthusiasm. I hope Becky Bastiman's got some two-year-olds that can go with him. I want to know what their names are, if she has, Becky, if you don't mind. That would be nice of you. it was good stuff, wasn't it? Richard Fye's good run of form continued. Gabriel LeDuc winning. Kevin Ryan's got off to a flying start with his horses, and Jamie Spencer riding distant past for Kevin up there. Brian Ellison seems to have emerged from a sort of, well, not a quietish spell, but a quietish spell by his standards. And I think he's all systems go. And well done to Marco Botti and to Gay Calloway and Andrew Balding and Pierre Brandt, of course. I mustn't forget Pierre Brandt, who provided me with a nice winning nap yesterday, yeah. Bless her. And for not letting Godolphin have it all the wrong way on the Lingfield card.
Yeah, so that's some good action on the flat. The turf season just warming up, of course. We're coming to the back end of the jump season, and the most famous race of them all is only a week away, Mick, the Grand National. Shut the Front Door is the 7-1 market leader, 10-1 for Rocky Creek. Balthazar King is 11s, 14s for the Druid's Nephew, 20s for Alvarado, Cause of Causes, God's Me Judge, Sol, and Springheeled, and 25-1 or bigger for the others.
Yeah, the market's got them, hasn't it? You know, Shut the Front Door with AP. I mean, that'll get shorter as the week goes on, won't it?
Yeah.
As hysteria kicks in. But I've just had a couple of bets so far. I've backed Sol, who has revitalised himself since joining David Pipe. David's placed him perfectly to land a couple of veterans chases on the way to Aintree. Finished seventh last year before he joined David Pipe. And I would see a big run on the cards for him. I think he needs one or two to come out, but he'll get in, no problem. And I've also backed First Lieutenant. Nina's had four rides in the race. She's completed on three of them. And he's got a touch of class, First Lieutenant. I know Mouse Morris has had a dreadful season by his standards, but if he takes to the place, and I don't see why he shouldn't, he'll bring a touch of class to the to the proceedings, won't he? And I just thought he was a biggish price around 33s, and I'll probably have a couple more going for me on the day, but they're my two sort of anti-posters at the moment.
Yes, 33s for First Lieutenant, and as you mentioned, he's got a touch of class about him, hasn't he? So
yeah.
I can see why. I was looking at Alvarado, Mick, purely because Paul Maloney's on board. He's going to get somewhere near, and he finished fourth in the race last year. So.
Absolutely, yeah. He'll be there or thereabouts, won't he, Alvarado? And Maloney's record in the National is as good as anybody's, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So that's the Grand National. Aside from that, Aintree is obviously fantastic racing alongside that for the 3 days.
The shoulder card's excellent.
Yeah. And I was just looking today, Mick, as well. They've three previous champion hurdle winners in the Aintree hurdle with Jeski, Rock on Ruby and Hurricane Fly all in the lineup. If they all turn up, that'll be a good race, won't it?
Yeah. And Rock on Ruby, I haven't had to miss the festival. Just a bit fresher than the others, and he's no bad number, is he?
He's not. It's his ideal trip as well.
Absolutely, two and a half. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, we're in for a treat, aren't we?
Anything else at the meeting stand out to you before we move on, Mick?
I'm not really. I just got an open mind about it all. I do like entry form, though. I do like horses who've been there before and run out, especially around, not just the big fences, around the Malmö track as well, because there aren't many tracks like it, Mark, with that. It's got that extra long straight, hasn't it? And they do start racing early there, and I think horses who can handle that and go back and do it again, I think that's very important. I do like horses who perform around that Malmö course. They started racing a long way out and they turn into their home straight, but they've got an awful long way to go from there.
Yeah, and it might sound a little bit silly, but with the crowd, they're always on the top of things as well, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So it
gees
the horse up a bit
more.
Those
grandstands, they go down to about the third last, and it's, especially National Day, it'll just be... It gets the jockeys revved up as well, because they think they're closer to home than they are.
Yeah.
They see the crowd line and off they go. Yeah. I think you need a little bit of patience around there, just to sort of sit and wait and deliver your hand. Certainly nowhere, not too far out if you can help it.
Let's move on then. Let's have a look at Sunday's racing. Mick's got four races for us, and we'll hear them next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, some good racing coming up on Sunday, as we mentioned. We're going to look at racing at three of the venues, Fairy House, Musselburgh and Plumpton. We'll go through them in time order, so the 3:20 at Fairy House is where we'll start. This is a grade one for the Mares, Mares Novices Hurdle. It's the Irish Stallion Farms EBF Mares Championship Final. We've got a field of 14 of them here, Mick, and several of them in very good form. So where would you start?
Yeah, well, I'll start with a bit of a puzzle, who was only having her fourth start over hurdles at the festival when she finished third of 15 behind Glenn's Melody. Would have probably been fourth of 16 behind Annie Power, but for her capitulation, but it was still a creditable run in the circumstances. And back in novices' company, she's got to be respected and open to further improvement. We've got the usual strong hand from the Willie Mullins stable. He's got three runners in the race: Lyrical Theatre, the Mount of Patrick. She was having just a second start over hurdles, won second in a Grade Three here in January. Dropped back to 2 miles, which didn't really work, won second at Limerick, and back over a trip that's more like it for a 2.5. You know, she's not an outsider, Lyrical Theatre, even though it might look like it on jockey bookings. And nor is Urana, the Mount of Paul Townend. She's a likeable daughter of Panoramic, and she hasn't got much to find as she steps up into Grade 1 company on only her fourth hurdle race start. She beat Rom's Dream in that sanded listed race in listed event in February, looking very impressive that day. Never looked like getting reeled in. And you know, she's only having her fourth start of the campaign. She's fresher than a few of these, and I think there's plenty more to come from her. Ruby Rouse, the four-year-old Petit Parisienne, and the hefty weight for age allowance gives her a leading claims. You know, she's getting £13 from her rivals, and that was an excellent fifth behind Peace and Co in the Triumph Hurdle, not far behind them either, and getting that weight for age allowance, Ruby's taking the ride on her. She's going to be very hard to beat. Others to consider are Rock on the Moor. Jesse Harrington trains Robbie Power, takes the ride. Unsurprisingly found Duvain too hot to handle at Punchestown in January, and was going well when falling next time. Was a long way out, but she was travelling and the race hadn't started in earnest. But no mistake, back in lower grade next time. Open to improvement with that confidence booster last time. It's a tough little race to call, but I do think that weight for age that Petit Parisienne gets, we know she can hold her own in the highest grade, so back against her own sex with the weight for age allowance, I think Petit Parisienne will be very, very hard to beat.
Okay, Petit Parisienne hard to beat in the 3.20. Back to these shows we go. The 3.25 at Musselburgh is the next race we look at. The Musselburgh Gold Cup. It's a handicap over 2 miles. It is on the flat, though. 13 of them in the lineup here, Mick. And even though it's on the flat, we've got a couple of horses that have been doing well over jumps in the likes of Handiwork and Streets of New York. Either of those two get involved for you?
Yeah, they're on the shortlist. Mark Streets of New York. He's also 2 from 4 of a CD as well, which is always a help. He won at York at the May meeting a year ago off a £3 lower mark. But I think the interesting fact about that, he's £3 higher than his last win, but his mark in the interim has improved from 111 to 124 over hurdles this winter. And I think that makes him of definite interest, especially with the stable bubbling again. You know, they've never gone off the boil completely, but they really are simmering now, and I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. You mentioned Handiwork. He's £11 higher on the flat than his Catrick win last back end, so more required on that, but he was an excellent second off a mark of 130 at Haydock over hurdles a couple of weeks ago when we saw him. Looking like a much improved horse. That hurdle race run had left anything he'd previously done behind. So he may well have dragged his flat ability up with him. So he may be able to cope with that £11 weight rise for his win at Catrick at the back end of last year in October. And Steve Gollins' horses are in good nick as well. So I respect him along with Streets of New York, as well as both horses very much on the upgrade if they're hurdling exploits. And the other one I've got to mention is Be Perfect, who used to be trained by David Nicholls, now with Ruth Carr, having only a second start for Ruth, and it was an excellent reappearance at Lingfield. And he is £6 lower on turf as well. And he's very close to his last turf-winning mark. That was at York, was way back in October 2013. But I do think he might just take some pegging back. It's a track that favours front runners. If Jimmy Sullivan can get those tactics right, he may be able to nick this from the front. They'll have to keep their eye on him. They won't be able to let him go. And with the market likely to probably involve those other two that we first mentioned, Be Perfect might reward each place only betting on the pro market. But I do think Theresa New York, especially as Brian's gone for Jacob Butterfield to take off £3. And the way he improved over hurdles, he could well land another one at one of his happy hunting grounds on the flat. So Streets of New York for me, Be Perfect for the pro market place only.
The 3:45 at Plumpton is where we go next. This is the Sussex Champion Hurdle. It's a handicap over 2 miles. We've got a field of 12 here, Mick, and it's going to be one of the more open races on the day.
It certainly is. I forget how many I've got on the shortlist, but there's plenty. We'll go through them in race card order. That might be easier. Roman Flight, despite top weight, not to be underestimated, this horse. Same mark as is when falling at the last in the county hurdle when he was a close-up fourth. I don't think he was going to be involved because Wicklow Brave was cantering all over them. But, you know, he was in the process of running a really big race and it wasn't a tired fall, it was an unlucky fall. He was still in the mix and he would have probably been in the frame. And I think he'll find this a lot easier than that. As long as he's none the worse for that fall, he's had 3 weeks to recover from it, and he certainly makes my shortlist. Past the time, Norman Holland trains, Dickie Johnson rides. He's effectively £12 higher since that Ludlow win, following respectable Grade 1 and Grade 2 efforts, including 6th of 15 behind Glenn's Melody at the festival in the David Nicholson. I do think the handicapper might have nailed her because she's not only just gone up for the win, she's also gone up for those graded efforts as well. So I think that's... But she's still, again, like Be Perfect, could be one for the pro market place only past the time. Tornado in Milan likes Plumpton, but went up £15 for beating the veteran Chesil Beach Boy at Taunton. I know he won by 8 lengths, but dear me. He was a respectable second off 133 back there next time. But up another two for that. So I'll be surprised if there's something not better handicapped. And they might be Prout's Pub and Boss Demott. Prout's Pub, trained by Nick Gifford, a local trainer. Liam Treadwell taking the ride. He won his bumper and he's been an improver over hurdles. Travels well in his races, so the drop back to a strongly run 2 miles, I think, will be no problem to him. And the main thing about him is he's going forward at the right time of the year. So he's going to be a big player. He's going to get the vote just about over Boss Demott, who's lightly raced improver. He's improved each start in the UK since coming from France. But it's just a tough ask, I think, for a four-year-old to win as competitive a race as this with, you know, Cheltenham form in the mix there. And he'll be taking a big chunk out of the market as well, Boss Demott, but I just think he might be up against it. And he went up £8 for winning that Fakenham handicap in a first-time hood, which is on again. I think Prout's Pub would be a safer option myself with the others you could put in the pro market place only, reckoning Roman Flight and Past the Time.
Okay, the final race we're going to look at is the 4:20, which is the Ryanair Gold Cup Novice Chase at Fairy House. It's a Grade 1 over 2.5 miles, and as is the case in the big races in Ireland, Willie Mullins has a pretty strong hand. He's got the bottom two here in Valsalido and Gitan de Berle. The latter getting plenty of weight here, Mick.
Yeah, I don't know whether they asked Willie how he wanted this race framing, but if they did, he's done a good job of it, hasn't he? He's got Gitan de Berle in this improving mare, was 2 from 2 over fences, including that impressive Scilly Islands win in Sandown, which just coincidentally is this way round. And she was a Grade 1 and a dual Grade 3 winner over hurdles in France. And she receives £13 combined weight for age and mare's allowance. So she's got 10 stone 9. The rest of them have got 11 stone 10.
Yeah.
Mate said he didn't want to bump into Vatour. Well, he might nearly have bumped into one just as bad here in Gitan de Berlay. Apache Stronghold looks the only conceivable danger. He's got the beating of Valsolido, who reopposes on both Leopardstown, February and Cheltenham. And I thought he ran a smashing race against an outstanding horse in the JLT.
Yep.
Just Gitan de Berlay stands in his way. AP rides Gil Gamboa. He's won 5 of his 9. Bit disappointing last time. And this is probably a bit too hot for him against the big two. And we can't leave the race without just mentioning the Tullow Tank, who did actually look on the way back when finishing fourth behind Apache Stronghold at Leopardstown just pre-Christmas there. He's got the first-time tongue tie on now to help with the pieces, which he wore at Leopardstown.
Yep.
So it suggests maybe that's what's been anchoring him, Mark. Maybe the breathing's just been an issue, because he's looked a shadow of the horse he was last year, hasn't he? And it could well play a part in this, but I'll be surprised if the winner isn't one of two, either Gitan de Berlay, or if she's having a day off, Apache Stronghold.
Okay. Jolene, slightly towards a Mullins runner? Yeah. With all that work?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I love Apache Stronghold.
Yeah.
I had a really stonking each way bet on him at Cheltenham. And I love him to bits, but I'll be surprised if he can give her £13.
Could be one to consider without the favourite, though.
Could well be. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good stuff.
There's more ways now, Mark, isn't there, than there used to be?
There is. There's plenty of ways in. Let's have a summary then, Mick, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Sunday one more time.
Yeah. Where are we starting again? I've lost track here, Mark. 3:20 at Ferry House, the mares, isn't it? Well, again, grade ones in Ireland, you've got to start and usually finish with the Mullins runners, haven't you? And Petit Parisienne with the weight for age allowance back against her own sex after an excellent 5th of 16 in the Triumph Hurdle. The Musselburgh Gold Cup. I'm going for Streets of New York here, who's improved out of, improved quite markedly his hurdle race mark throughout the winter. And if he's dragged his flat racing mark up with him, which is every chance of that happening, he's going to go well in this with the Jacob Butterfield taking off 3 as well. And it's worth mentioning that Stable have really sort of bounced back to sparkling form as well. So Streets of New York for me in the 3:25. In the 3:45 Plumpton's feature is the Sussex Champion Hurdle. I like the look of Prout's Pub here. It was a horse going forward at the right time of year. Locally trained by Nick Gifford, Liam Treadwell in the saddle. And don't be put off by the fact that he's dropping back half a mile in trip, because he does travel well in his races, this horse. And the final race, we've probably saved the best till last, haven't we? The Ryanair Gold Cup Novices Chase. Apache Stronghold runs such a mighty race against Valtour in the GLT at Cheltenham. But he's run into one again, hasn't he? In the Mullins mare, Gitan de Berlay, who gets the £13 allowances, the combination of the mares and the age weight for age allowance. She's going to be a very tough nut to crack.
Mm, fantastic. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
I will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. It'll be Gareth Topham, Sean Quinn and James Millman in the studio. We've got Musselburgh, Plumpton and Sedgefield domestically. Some good racing at those venues as well, with the Musselburgh Gold Cup and the Sussex Champion Hurdle. We've also got some very good racing over in Ireland. We'll squeeze in some of the action from Fairy House, their feature race being the Grade 1 Ryanair Gold Cup Novice Chase. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.